Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Productions, and this is Black Urban America. How are you this week? Welcome back. Now, for those of you that are tuning in, you could dial at 909-265-9215. That's 909-265-9215. I have some requests. I know that today, this evening, I was supposed to have a monthly co-host, but a half hour ago, she had trouble coming into studio, so therefore, it's just me and you. It's been a while since I've been able to conduct a show by myself, and there are several issues that came up. Since I've been having guests on every week. Now, there's four issues that concerns me, that interests my eyes. The Trump administration, of course, teachers and guns, Oprah Winfrey, and, of course, ESPN. Now, we really don't talk about sports on this show because this is not a sports talk show, but there's something that happened at ESPN that I would like to inform you about, Sister Janelle Hill. Well, let's talk about the Trump administration. Oh, look like President Trump is having some difficulties. Another one bites the dust. another one bites the dust. His very, very close confidant, Hope last name, she resigned. And she was she was summoned to sit down with Mueller, and that Mueller, who is running the investigation on the collusion between the Trump administration and Russia. It appears that every time someone, let me tell you something about the feds. The feds only talk to you when they have the goods on you. When they have the goods on you, when they come after you, believe you me, they have their I's dotted and their T's crossed. And I want to tell you something else. they have a 98% win success rate. They always get their man. I don't care if it takes 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years. Oh, the feds had 10-year investigations. I mean, they investigated the mafia for several different parts of the mafia for over 20 years. So the Trump administration is in trouble. And I know a lot of you out there like Trump. I know you do. But the man is not capable of running this country. I mean, he's capable of probably running a business. But when it comes to all of the issues that's at hand, it's the difficulties. And I'm not going to be trying to make an analysis of what who Trump is or why Trump is doing certain participating in certain tasks or behind certain policies like immigrations and the wall and the DACA. And, I mean, even the court told Trump, yo, man, you cannot go after these kids. These people have been here since they were children, and we're not going to kick them out of the country. And now he's trying to start trouble with Iran. Now, if you know the history of Iran, you don't want to fool around with Iran. And since the Carter administration, since the Carter administration, the United States and Iran had terrible relationships. Terrible. You know, the United States almost went to war with Iran a couple of times, but it was President Obama that tried to settle the fires between the United States and Iran. But thanks to President Trump, he does it again. So even Republicans are afraid of this man. I'm not being afraid of they're intimidated by him. They are afraid, what is he going to do next? And now, according to sources on Meet the Press, CNN, Trump really doesn't have anyone in his administration that he really trusts. Not even his wife. His wife is living in New York while he's in D.C. You know, so the wife had the son that Ivanka had. So every week, I know the news ratings have the most highest ratings since Trump been in office. Because every week is something new with this man. Something new. So the only thing I can say to you folks, sit back, wait, and see. Now, the issue of teachers and guns. Now, I visit many classrooms over the years. Inner city, suburbs, urban area, rural area, visit many schools. No way. I mean, what is the NRA and President Trump, Senator Cruz, all these guys are resisting? You want to know why? Because the NRA lobby is one of the most powerful lobbying machines on the Hill. They dole out millions and millions of dollars to both sides of the aisle. They don't care. And that's why lawmakers are afraid to make strict laws about having guns. Now, they try to blame it onto mentally handicapped or people with mental illness. No, it's not. No. Not every person that is mentally ill owns a firearm and does mass shootings. Now, I just want to say this. Yeah, I know some of you are going to take issue with this when you hear this, when you download this show. This is nothing new in the black community. I'm not talking about the mass shootings. We always have children getting shot almost on a daily, in some communities, on a daily basis. We always had black children, black teenagers, shootings. But where was the outcry? Where was the marches? Now, I commend these students that have a cause and they're really being consistent about it. And they're visiting lawmakers or what have you. They're visiting with their big office, the ARA. That's the ones behind the lawmakers. But the ARA will not meet with them. And they talk about, oh, we're going to increase the age to 21. That's not going to solve anything. If you want a gun, you could get a gun. If you're 10 years old, you could buy. There have been incidents, 9-year-olds carrying guns on the streets. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The week before that shooting, I think Parkland, the shooting in Florida, they met with the parents. And
hold it now!
They met with the parents and asked the parents if they want metal detectors because all high schools, all the countries have metal detectors. Matter of fact, I lived in a community where the shootings were so bad that they even asked the parents. They just put the metal detectors in. And there have always been police officers in black schools, always. You might have one or two police officers there strapped. So where was the outcry where all these black kids was getting shot? Where was the marches? You know, where was the lawmakers? And we had black councilmen and black state senators back then too. Nothing. That just comes to show you that when it hits certain neighborhoods, people want to do something about it. Now, my heart goes out to the parents that lost their children. Really, really do. But this has been a problem for many years. Not mass shootings. You see, kids shoot each other for a reason. Money on a woman. Money on a woman. That's it. Money or a girl. And it's ironic that the ARA recommended to President Trump that teachers should carry guns in schools. That's the most idiotic thing I ever heard in my life. Teachers are there for one thing, one task only, to teach. And the principal to administer, the guidance counselor to advise the students. Not to be security or armed security guards? Are you crazy? Oh, we're going to have training for them. Oh, really? What, we're going to turn our schools into military schools now? Think about it. Think about it. What would happen? Let me give you a scenario. You have a teacher. He's strapped. I mean, he's carrying a weapon. And he get into a verbal confrontation with a kid, with a teenager. And that teenager gets angry and want to do something with him. And he got a couple friends in class. So what the teacher going to do? Shoot him and shoot the other kids? Because he want to confront them? Because you got teachers that got short fuses now. Hold up now. Back up. Teachers have short, there are teachers that have short fuses. That, you know, now many teachers are patients, but hold up. Teachers have bad days too. I don't think that is a good, that would be a good policy. I think that would create more problems. And it's still debating it. So let's wait and see of the teacher and the gun. All right, that's enough for Trump for tonight. I was watching CBS Morning Show, Oprah Winfrey, want to start a new program. And it's one thing I can say about Ms. Winfrey. She put her money where her mouth is. She put her money where her mouth is. She gave to a lot of programs, to all communities around the world. She really, really is a giver. And she came up to say, look, we've been going about this the wrong way. We've been providing training program, job training program, counseling program, training schools, and what have you. And a lot of these folks come here to get skills, but they still come from a dramatized environment. And she said that we have to deal with the dramatization of the individual before we could provide the resource for them. I agree. And instead of saying, what do you want? We ask them, what happened to you? You know, abuse, rape, assault, all kind of dramatization may happen in an individual life. And if that's not addressed, if we have substance abuse, in and out of jail, negative acting out behaviors exhibited by oneself. Yeah, well, here's my reason what happens. Racial inequality. That's right, racial discrimination, racism. Okay, where a person is unable to make a living, he brings that frustration home. And then before you know it, there's the breakup of the family. The man leaves, you know, or the woman tells the man to leave. You know, then also being unable to provide care for your family because of inequality, because of the education system not providing or teaching you marketable skills that can make you function in society, you bring that home with you. Domestic violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Abusing your child, unable to keep food in the refrigerator. You know, that is frustrating. And then you'd be surprised how some of that frustration is taken out on the kids, on the children in the home. And then they go out and they start acting out. So it's a rolling snow effect. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you'd be surprised how racial inequality affects the black home. You'd be surprised how not providing an adequate education for an individual affects that person's life. And to me, if you ask me, it's by design. It's by design. It's institutionalized. It is. You'd be surprised how the lack of appropriate education lack of appropriate education to an individual keep other institutions in business. Keep the lack of education keep other institutions in business. One, Department of Corrections. There are a whole lot of inmates, millions of inmates that have a poor educational background from their communities. So that's called racial inequality. I'm going to go on record saying racial inequality causes dramatization in an individual life. And that racial inequality stems from education, social services, lack of marketable employment, and infects the black home. So we won't get the root at the drama, what dramatized the person. Let's begin there. And you can see the effect. You can see the cause and effect. Last but not least, there was an incident in 2016 where Adrienne Lawrence, she claims that Chris Berman, what his nickname is Boomer. You know, I watch Chris Berman a lot, and said that Chris Berman left some racial remarks on her voicemail. And Adrienne claims that Janelle Hill, who used to work for ESPN, well, Chris Berman's still at ESPN. He does the Sunday football countdown. He does Monday night football countdown. He's one of the main journalists, and he's been there like for almost 30 years, since the beginning, when ESPN wasn't even named ESPN. Chris Berman was there since it was called Just Sports Center. That's the only show they had, was Just Sports Center, when they first came out. So Adrienne Lawrence claimed that Jamil Hill was forced to resign because some comments that she was making about the president and some writing she was made about the Colin Kaepernick or what have you. And she discussed racism. So it's just like the lady on Fox, a guy named Tell LeBron James, Charles Barkley, to shut up and dribble. They will tell Jamil Hill that this is not a platform for you to air your personal views. Oh, really? Look at the NBA. Look at the NFL. Look at the Olympic track team. We have a lot of athletes that make you rich, wealthy. And these sportscasters cover these athletes. You mean to tell me she cannot, and let me tell you, she's from Michigan State too. And let me tell you, Jamil Hill is nothing to be played with. You know, very intelligent sister. Basically, she was told to shut up and just write about sports. Like LeBron was told, shut up and just dribble. How dare they? But Jamil Hill said that she never heard the recording. She never heard the recording. But Adrienne Lawrence said that she did. So she played it for Jamil. Jamil says she never heard it. And she also said that Adrienne was probably looking for a payday. And that's when now Jamil, two sisters are beefing now. Because, look, I believe, I don't know who to side with. I kind of believe in Jamil Hill because she don't have nothing to lose. She don't even work for ESPN no more. She worked for another company, another sports newscast. And I guess, hey, she said, Chris is my friend too. You know, I'm not going to lie on him. But it's interesting how those two are, and very rare that the brothers do it. It's very rare that sisters air their disagreements in public. But it's interesting to me that I believe that Chris Berman left some racist remarks on Adrian Lawrence's voicemail, and she played it for Jemele Hill. I think Jemele Hill would write about it. I don't think she would wait until 2018. She would write about it in 2016 when the incident happened. So, I'm sorry I didn't have this new guest on, but I don't know. I really can't tell you what her schedule is going to be like in April because she has her own business and everything. So, I got to keep on just scheduling guests. And next week, I'll have a guest for you. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show, downloading, reading the articles. I just like to thank everyone for their support. Well, that's all for tonight. I, like always, remember, Carlton Sneed come on Saturday at 8 p.m. Provocative Thoughts. Same number, but his is blogtalkradio.com/provocativethought if you want to do it by your laptop or computer. So that's all for tonight. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. See you next week.
Hold it now! When the other man